Your children love themselves too much to buck the inevitable. But remember, they know you presently as a vacillating weakling, never sticking by your principles, ignoring them when it would be inconvenient to do otherwise. They will try to make your change of resolve very uncomfortable. Start with the youngest and work your way up. Let them know what is coming, grand, because you have secret weapons, a plan, love, patience, reproof, the rod of correction, endurance, and the hope of reward promised in scriptures. Throwing a fit, temper tantrums. My 9 and 11-year-old daughters came in from a neighbor's house, complaining of a young mother's failure to train her child. A 7-month-old boy, who failed to get his way, had stiffened, clenched his fist, bared his toothless gums, and called down damnation on the whole place. His expression resembled someone instigating a riot. The young mother, wanting to do the right thing, stood there in helpless consternation, apologetically shrugged her shoulders, and explained her helplessness by saying, "What can I do?" My incredulous 9-year-old answered, "Switch him." The mother responded, "I can't. He's too little." With the wisdom of a veteran who had been on the receiving end of the switch, my daughter answered, "If he is old enough to pitch a fit, he is old enough to be switched." Persistence. Some struggling parents have asked, "But what if the child only screams louder and gets madder?" You have to realize that if he is accustomed to getting his unrestricted way, you can expect just such a response. He will simply continue to do what he has always done to get his way. It is his purpose to intimidate you and make you feel like an overbearing tyrant. Don't be bullied. Give him more of the same. Switch him 8 or 10 times on his bare legs or bottom. Then, while waiting for the pain to subside, speak calm words of rebuke. If his crying turns to a true, wounded, submissive whimper, you have conquered. He has submitted his will. But if his crying is still defiant, protesting, and other than a response to pain, spank him again. And if this is the first time he has come up against someone tougher than he is, it may take a while. He must be convinced that you have truly altered your expectations. There is no justification for this to ever be done in anger. If you are the least bit angry, wait until another time. Most parents are so guilt-laden and embarrassed that they are unable to carry this through to the end. If you stop before the child is voluntarily submissive, you have confirmed to him the value and effectiveness of a screaming protest. The next time, it will take twice as long to convince him of your commitment to his obedience, because he has learned the ultimate triumph of endurance in this episode, in which he has prevailed. Once he learns that the reward of a tantrum is a swift, forceful spanking, he will never throw another fit. If you enforce the rule 3 times and then fail on the 4th, he will keep looking for that loophole until you have convincingly persuaded him that it will not work again. If a parent starts at infancy, discouraging the first crying demands, the child will never develop the habit. In our home, a fit was totally unknown because the first time it was tried, we made it counterproductive. Parental prototypes. Never expect more of your children in the way of attitude than you are of yourself. Happy, well-balanced parents who neglect the rod and reproof will have grouchy, complaining, tantrum-prone children. But in a situation where one or both parents are an emotional wreck, not much can be expected from the child. A child is going to be the harvest of his parents' temperament. If the mother is sulky, critical, or selfish, the children will have a tendency to be the same. If the father is a bully or full of anger and impatience, his sons will be too. If the father is rude, demanding, and disrespectful of the mother, you can expect the same from his sons. If a father is intemperate or lustful, the children will likely be worse. I have seen many children openly despise their parents' sins, yet grow up to be just like them. The lesson in this is, you must be what you want your child to be, in attitude as well as actions. Don't try to beat the ugly out of a child who is simply a display window of your own heart attitudes. They better not mistreat my baby. A common problem, more often found in mothers, is the "they better not mistreat my baby" syndrome. I can still remember when I was young, looking on with disgust as some swaggering brat sneered out one side of his mouth and threatened to tell his mother. How did his parents produce such ugliness in him? It's easy